This is Journey Church Podcast. Here at Journey, we believe in encountering God and embracing people. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
I love that sermon bumper, mostly because with me being in kids' church, I think I've seen it maybe once. So it's great that it got spiced up. If I had to add a hot take to that video, this is probably the biggest hot take out there. But it's a life goal of mine to never actually try a beaver tail just because they seem very overrated. So if ever you ask to go for beaver tails, I'm sorry, I will probably pass on it. Anyways, if you don't recognize me, Pastor Jess is quite right in the sense of I wear a green t-shirt every week. And so that's a very recognizable piece of who I am. Typically, I also have a name tag, and I say every week is name tag Sunday for me. So if you forget my name this week, no big deal. All of the future weeks, let's just pray that name tag Sunday comes up sooner rather than later, shall we? Yes. I have had the privilege of being the kids pastor here for the past number of years. Before I was the kids pastor, I also just volunteered in kids church pretty well every week. So Pastor Jess was not far off in saying that if your child is 18, I probably taught them Sunday school when they were two, because my first class of Sunday school two-year-olds are now in the ninth grade, which would make them about 15 years old. So these days I am feeling a tad shorter and a lot older. So it's pretty great just to see them grow up, walk alongside them, and really see the potential they have. The Lord has put a lot of potential in our next generation. So before I jump into the word, which I promise is coming quickly here, I wanted to give a quick kids camp update. Many of you may not remember your kids camp days super. I loved kids camp so much, and I'm so glad that Journey has such a culture of going to kids camp and really investing in the kids, because this is where they get to encounter Jesus in new ways with different speakers and make friends from all over our province. This year, we had a full camp where the camp was sold out, and it was just so exciting to see these kids come, know Jesus more. I had this one experience. We do something every evening called WAG time, and WAG stands for What About God? And in WAG time, I sat down in a girl's cabin, and the counselors asked the girls a very simple question. When you go home, what are you going to tell your parents was the most important part of the week? And the girls, they thought about it for a second before hands started flying up, as eight-year-olds do. And they had a lot of different responses. Some of them were fun, like how much candy they had that week, which was a good amount of candy. But then also some of the responses were a lot more serious, where they were telling about the Bible stories they learned and all of the pieces of scripture that they had read and the spiritual gifts that God had shown to them. And ultimately that theme that came about across the board essentially was that God cares about them and has given them things such as the Bible and spiritual gifts so that they can live for him. Isn't that incredible? Like, absolutely incredible. I was sitting there in near tears just because I was reminded of how good the Lord is. Years ago, he put a calling on my life when I was at that very camp, when I was 10 years old. And here I was on the flip side of things, seeing how the Lord brought that calling to me, but also how he was equipping and calling other kids. It was incredible. At the end of the day, I just want to see the kids have their lives transformed by the Lord like he transformed mine. And here I was in their cabins watching it firsthand. So we are going to jump into the word right away here. And today my hot take comes from 1 Corinthians 12. So if you have your Bible, feel free to open it up. If you don't, that's okay. It will be on the screen right behind me. We're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. Jumping forward to verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eyes cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So God, as we talk about spiritual gifts today, we just ask. We ask that your Spirit would be speaking to each one of us and that we would just see the value of the gifts that you have placed in our lives. God, would you just come and make yourself so apparent, and would each word spoken just sit with us where it needs to sit? Amen. So, we got to my fun hot take. Now let's get to the hot take from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. My hot take is, everyone has gifts, but most people choose not to lean into them and allow the Holy Spirit to use them to their fullest potential. This is a bit of a hot take because we're talking spiritual gifts, and spiritual gifts are something that are very personal to each one of us, but also when they are used, provide such value to the body. I will be speaking directly to the spiritual gifts and why they matter in our walk with Jesus. Now, before we get too deep into it, I really want to get right off the bat why people don't use their spiritual gifts. There came down to three main reasons when I was reading scripture, but then also reading some commentaries on 1 Corinthians 12. So, first of all, people don't think they have gifts. You might be one of those people where I say spiritual gifts and you're already falling asleep because you don't think you have any. I would beg to differ that you do have spiritual gifts, each one of you, and they are different and distinct for a purpose. Another reason why people don't use their gifts is church hurt. I get it. I've been there. There was a time in my teen years where there was so much church hurt, and I felt a lot of barriers to using my gifts. I was jealous of other people's gifts. I was frustrated on where my life circumstances were, and I just did not feel that I could use my gifts in a place where I felt so much hurt to the people around me. So if that's you, you're not alone. I've walked it, and it's hard. But also, in that place, you have a choice to use your gifts. There is another reason why people choose not to use their gifts, and that would be apathy. Maybe you recognize you have gifts, but also it takes too much energy, or you don't feel the burning desire to go use your gifts, so you become apathetic to what the Lord has gifted you. I am praying that the Lord would be speaking to you and reigniting your passion for using your gifts and showing you all of the ways that he has equipped you. Your gifts matter. They matter a lot. It's not always easy to walk with your gifts, but God is faithful and he equips you. We're going to look back at that first scripture that we read, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. When we look at this scripture, we have three parts in each verse. So verse 4 identifies that there are many gifts, but at the core, it's the Holy Spirit who gives these gifts. What the Holy Spirit has given you will be different than other people. He's given you these gifts according to who you are. What my gifts are will be different than what your gifts are. And he has given you these gifts in accordance to where you go and the places that you will be, the people you will talk to, because most likely we are not interacting with all of the same people and same workplaces and our families. But your gifts are used in those spaces. When I was a teenager, I had a friend who had an amazing spiritual gift, but I was jealous of this gift. Her gift was something called words of knowledge. If you don't know what that is, no big deal. Essentially, words of knowledge is where you are able to clearly hear the Spirit of the Lord, hear his voice, and share what he is speaking to other people. Yeah, what he is sharing to you to other people to encourage them and help them in their walk with God. So that's what a word of knowledge is. Now, it seemed like it was constant that this friend was just hearing God's voice and sharing God's voice. And when you are 14 years old, this gift is like the coolest thing ever. It really is, because they are sharing what God's saying, and it makes them seem very, very spiritual. When you're 14, that's what you want to be seen. You're going to youth group time in, time out, and you want to be seen as the spiritual one. Now, the Lord was developing that gift in my friend. At the same time, he was developing my teaching gift. And my teaching gift I was using in Sunday school every week in the two-year-olds class, where they are snotty, and you were wiping their noses, where they are throwing blocks. At the point when I was 14, the classroom we were in had shelves on the wall, and two-year-olds discovered they could climb. And so you're pulling two-year-olds off the shelf time and time again. And so comparatively, my friend had this gift that made her seem very spiritual, was encouraging older people and people our age in their walk with God. And I was teaching kids about Jesus for the first time while also pulling them off the wall every 2 seconds. So there was some comparison there. Yes, we have the assurance that there are different gifts, but at the core, the Holy Spirit gives it to us. But when I was 14, did I understand that? No way. I wanted the cooler gift, or what I thought was the cooler gift. There are also different ministries, but the same Lord who guides all of them. So even within Journey Church, we have so many different areas where people can serve. We have kids' church. We have the youth ministry. We have cafe, broadcast, worship. I could go on for ages and ages. Ministries have different practical purposes, but the foundation of all of these is the Lord. Your main ministry, actually, may be outside of the church. I hope the gifts that you have, you are using for more than 1 hour a week. Your gifts are not intended just to be used for 1 hour a week. So here at Journey Church, it's one great place to get started, but that's not where things should stop. See, as a teenager, I was applying my gift of teaching in kids' church. Well, my friend was applying her gift with the people our age in youth ministry and people slightly older. There was no better or worse gift. They were on an equal playing ground. What I perceived as being better or worse was simply my perception. But they were being used to advance the kingdom just in different ways. People were still coming to know God through how we used our gifts. God guides our ministries, so they just must be rooted in him, and our focus must be based on him. In verse 6, there's an emphasis that God works different activities in each person. This is because he knows us. In different activities, places, people, seasons, God knows us, and he knows what we are going to encounter. God is the one who navigates it alongside you. There are different types of gifts. Theologians will tell you that the list of gifts that we read about in Romans and 1 Corinthians is not a comprehensive list of gifts. So the gifts of the Spirit are unique to the individual. Just so you have an idea of the vastness of the range of gifts, I'm going to list a few. So just keep pace with me for a second here. So some gifts may include faith, words of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, healing, miracles, exhortation, generosity, teaching, hospitality, leadership, serving, administration, and evangelism. These gifts are all distinct, and they all have one purpose, which is to glorify God and point people back to Jesus. gifts are meant to be used alongside other gifts. This is true of spiritual gifts. This is also true of physical gifts. See, here's the problem. We live in an individualistic society where we are told time and time again, you have to be seeking after your own thing. You live on this island or in this silo that makes us feel alone. And if our gifts exist on that island alone, separate from everyone else. Our gifts on their own can only take us so far. Our gifts have complementary purposes that, when used together, advance the kingdom so much more. When I was younger, I loved asking for gifts. Now, the biggest gift I would ask for, my Christmas lists were filled with this, were books. To this day, I will admit I do actually have a lot of books, and I do purchase a lot of books. I think this week alone, I probably purchased 3 books and considered going to the library. So this is a consistent problem in my life. I say problem lightly. Now, when I was younger with these gifts, I would ask for so many books, and they would pile up. My bookshelves would be filled, and then my floor would have stacks of books, and then I would move all of my books into my bed, so then I was barely sleeping on my bed because my books had more space than I did. And so with these books, I loved reading them, and I loved coming back to them time and time again. Had I been given a bookmark, though, and I had no book whatsoever, or I had no context to how the bookmark was supposed to be used, I would be thinking, this is a great book, great bookmark, this is a great gift, but how do I go about using it? Again, a bookmark needs something to complement it. It needs a book. You cannot have them separately without them making sense. So, going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is talking about the body of Christ. It says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, all of its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We all have gifts that we bring to the table. So think back to the gifts that I listed a minute ago. Hospitality, serving, administration, generosity, exhortation. Your gifts may not be something that you think comes naturally to everyone. Your gifts may be something that comes very easily to you, but you think to other people it comes just as easily. It's not always the case. Recently, I had a realization that one of my gifts is administration. Now, how I came about this realization was actually quite entertaining. So, anyone here really enjoy spreadsheets? Show of hands, anyone? Okay, I'm glad there's a few of you out here. I, too, very much enjoy spreadsheets. And this has been something that I have really leaned into in the past year. You can ask the staff. Whenever I finish a spreadsheet, I will quite literally pick up my computer and walk it around and show them how beautiful this spreadsheet is. So, these spreadsheets are wonderful. When I was working on one of these spreadsheets, I had someone actually ask me a question that was oddly specific that I could answer, and I was very proud of it. And then from there, I flipped over to my 3 Word documents that were open side by side by side that were almost done, and I realized, wait a second, the Lord might actually have a gifting in this somewhere for me. See, I thought everyone was able to navigate different programs, documents, and spreadsheets very quickly to create documents and data spreads. And apparently that's not the case. So I'm glad some of you can resonate, because I thought it was just me, actually. So perhaps for you, it's not spreadsheets. That's okay. Spreadsheets are not for everyone, and Excel can be very frustrating, too. But maybe for you, you find it really easy to open up your home and host other people. That's not easy for everyone. Some people may not be able to open their home because of life circumstances or comfortability. That's okay. But for you, you find it so simple. You would have people over every night of the week if you could. That's the gift of hospitality. It does not faze you. Just have people over and host them. Maybe you find it very easy to rally groups of people. And you find this easy when you are at work. Perhaps you lead a team of people. You find this easy in your home. You find this easy with your friends. You suggest ideas. Your friends somehow come alongside you every time, and they follow your lead. Many people would prefer to follow the direction of someone and find it uncomfortable to lead groups of people. As you operate in your leadership gift, you are using a gift in your workplace or in your friends or in your home. The body of Christ is strengthened with diversity and people leaning into their unique gifts and skill sets. Operating in silos does not advance the kingdom nearly as effectively as if we were to operate all together and use our gifts. If I were to use my gift of administration on its own, what we would have is a lot of good spreadsheets and well-crafted emails. It's true. So administration, it would be great, but you would have emails, you'd have spreadsheets. If I were to combine that with someone with the gift of hospitality, all of a sudden, we are forming small groups, because small groups are being hosted in someone's home, and someone has opened up their home, but then someone such as myself can come alongside them to support with the communication, the administrative side. So we have a small group. From there, if we were to add someone with the gift of leadership, now we have a small group with a balance of conversation and awkward pauses, because someone is leading that group and navigating that very well. See, these administrative, hospitality, and leadership gifts can all overlap so that people come closer to God, so that the kingdom is advanced. You'll notice in the middle of these three circles, it's highlighted. This is because this is our sweet spot. When we operate alongside each other, this is our sweet spot, where the kingdom is advanced and our gifts are being used. They complement one another. In a culture so easily focused on comparison, it's easy to perceive your gifts as weak or insignificant. This may also change depending on the season or circumstance in your life. I mentioned briefly before when I was a teenager, struggling with that comparison with my friend. Our gifts were not better or worse than one another. They were just different. When I was younger, the gift I most identified with was working with kids. I started that from a young age. Leaders were pouring into me, and it was so cool. Tough at times, but cool to lean into that gift. Now, my life was turned upside down when I was 16 years old. When I was 16 years old, I became ill with a life-threatening illness called aplastic anemia. This illness was very serious in that my bone marrow did not actually make any blood cells. So at this point in my life, all of a sudden, I went from being a healthy teenager into being deathly ill, where if I were to fall and get bruised, that could be very dangerous, because my platelets, which focuses on the clotting of your blood, were typically at around the 10 range. Normally, they are supposed to be on the low end at 150. So it was less than half of where it should have been. Likewise, my white blood cells were very close to zero. My white blood cells focus on fighting infection. So if I had picked up any kind of virus, that could have put me in ICU based on how serious it was. My hemoglobin, which gives you energy and helps with just all of, it makes up the bulk of your blood. It was also very low. So my energy was less than it should have been by about half. At this point, I had options for treatment, and the options were not great. The option that gave me the best chance of living a healthy life was something called a bone marrow transplant. And for a bone marrow transplant, essentially you undergo high-dose chemotherapy for about 10 days leading into transplant, and then they give you an infusion of stem cells from another donor. In my situation, it was an unrelated donor, and you pray that they engraft. Most of the time they do, but it still only has about an 80% chance of working. As someone who likes all of the data and spreadsheets, 80%, it's a good number, but it's not 100%. And so that bothered me because I knew there was still a 20% chance of failure. I had been leaning into this gift of working with kids for so many years at this point. And all of a sudden, I had doctors telling me, because of this diagnosis, I couldn't lean into that gift anymore. I could not be working with 2 and 3-year-olds every week because kids, quite frankly, carry a lot of germs. They do. Like, after kids camp, I was sick for a week. So with that, kids carry germs. And so my doctors were all of a sudden telling me, you can't be with kids every week, because the germs would be dangerous for me in the months leading into transplant and the months post-transplant as well. This was intentional so that I could get healthy again. But instead of counseling at kids camp that summer, I was at doctor's appointments every single day, and they were long doctor's appointments. Instead of teaching Sunday school, I had to stay home from church altogether for months. So I wasn't even allowed to be around adults in the service, let alone little ones, simply because if I had picked up any kind of virus from anyone, it could have put me in the ICU. This was hard, especially being 16. All of a sudden, my life had been flipped, turned upside down. I really couldn't wrap my mind around just the gravity of some of this and the uncertainty that came with it either. I had been so comfortable leaning into being in kids' church that now that I couldn't, I had to grapple. What was my faith to me? What was my relationship with the Lord going to be like? I did have a level of faith, knowing that God would work this into my story and where He was leading me. However, that didn't take away from the hard moments. There were points where I had to lean into prayer more than ever, where I was quite literally crying out to God. I was asking Him the big questions of why this was happening, how it was changing my life, whether I would be in that 20%. There were also moments where I was praising Him when things went well, when I was discharged 3 days post-transplant, which, to my knowledge, Julia over here can correct me, that normally does not happen. She works on that unit. So with that, there were moments where I could praise Him because what we were seeing was a miracle. There were also moments of doubt. Moments of doubt where I wasn't sure treatment was going to work. Or I wasn't sure that when I came back to church, the kids would remember me. That was heartbreaking too. I had been teaching them for so long, and I loved them so much. But coming back, I knew it would be different. In this time, I had a choice on whether or not I was going to lean into other gifts or just be angry at the Lord that I couldn't use my gift that had been most dominant at that point. What I chose to do was lean into these gifts. What I saw was a building of a gift of faith and a gift of prayer that I had not seen before. There was an invitation that God was extending for me to meet him in other ways. There were ways for me to still lean in. I could have chosen to take my gifts, just put them on the shelf. Take those gifts, just like books, put them on my shelf, let them collect dust and just sit there. It would have been easy to do that and remain focused on all of the hard moments because there was a lot of hard. However, turning my eyes to him and accepting the invitations to the gift of faith, the gift of prayer, changed everything. And to this day, I still believe this is part of the miracle that I saw and experienced in my recovery and health since that point. Since that point, I have been in the 80%. I have had no health complications since then, which is a miracle. We all have choices to make. We all have hard things that we are walking through. And I don't know what your heart looks like. Maybe it's like what my heart looked like in that season, where you are having health challenges. And there's a lot of uncertainty with it. Maybe for you, you were going through a divorce, or you were walking through bankruptcy or financial uncertainty. Maybe for you, there's challenges with your business. These are hard places to be in. Sometimes you don't want to accept the invitation God has placed in front of you to still use your gifts in this place. We all have hard places, but God reaches out in these hard moments. He reaches out with good gifts. Sometimes you don't want to accept that invitation, but sometimes you may not see the invitation at all because your eyes are so focused in on the hard. I understand that too. There is still the invitation in front of you, though. Whether you see it now or you see it 5 months from now, that invitation is there, and the Lord will still be walking alongside you with that invitation to lean into your gifts. You have a choice to lean in. He has done it for me, and I know he can do it for you too. See, there's beauty in the body of Christ as well. There are parts that work alongside each other that keep us going. Just like we read in 1 Corinthians 12. We all have different roles. The body can't operate if we're all an ear or we're all an eye. We need the hands, we need the feet, we need every part of the body so that we can keep going. Looking around this room alone, I just see such a beautiful image of the body of Christ. People come alongside you when you feel weak, and this is by design. The Lord intended it that way. In moments of weakness, you can still lean in, and others will use their gifts to complement yours for the purpose of advancing the kingdom. You have to make the decision on whether you will also use your gifts to complement others in their moments of weakness, because there will be others who come alongside you and complement your gifts in your moments of weakness. How you use your gifts matter in the good and the bad moments. God is a good father who gives us gifts that he wants you to use. They're meant to be used versus keeping them in a box. If you think back to all of those books I asked for as a kid, can you imagine if I had just put them on my shelf, never opening them, and let them collect dust? That frankly makes my heart really sad to think about. It really does, because these books are meant to be explored. They're meant to be read. Your gifts are no different. They are meant to be explored. and they are meant to be used. And it brings the Father joy to see you use your gifts. And we need to intentionally choose to use them, because not only does it bring the Father joy, but other people come to know Jesus through these gifts. As we wrap up here, which will be very shortly, I have another scripture that we are going to just quickly read. Romans 12, verses 5 to 8 say, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." See, we are stronger when we use our gifts together in one body. People will come alongside you. Whether you think they will or not, people will. Just take a second and look at the people around you. You're surrounded by amazing people who hopefully believe in the Lord or will come to believe in the Lord one day. The Holy Spirit can speak to each one of you and use you to come with people and walk with them in those hard places. Take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit what gifts you have that He is showing you. This may feel like a whisper, but this is an invitation for you to press in. Think about whether you have used these gifts recently. Where did you use them? Sundays are one of many opportunities to use them alongside others in the body of Christ and in your church community. But it's so much more than the hour or two we gather on Sunday mornings. I see this with the kids team every week. With the kids team, we have many people who come week in and week out in the ebbs and flows of life to serve our kids so they come to know Jesus and so they come to encounter Him. They take the gifts they have in their everyday life and they use them for God's glory at Journey to serve our youngest people. What are those gifts for you? Have they been sitting on the shelf for too long? Do you need to pull it off the shelf, dust them off, start using them again? It may feel rusty when you first pull them off the shelf. But as you start exploring those gifts again, it becomes more comfortable and it becomes exciting to see what God is going to do. You will discover new ways to use your gifts, ones that you may not have dreamed of before. Are you using your gifts for God's glory? The Holy Spirit speaks to you and provides ways for you to partner with Him, to use your gifts either at Journey or in the body of Christ, in your workplaces, to show other people Jesus. There's ways that He shows up. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but He is the same Lord, and there are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. God is the same always, and He gives good gifts to each person and invites you to use them. So you must decide if you are going to dust off your gifts, pull them off the shelf, and use them here in the church body. The Holy Spirit might be prompting you, challenging you, if you will, to take action on the little nudge that you feel inside to start using your gifts in the body. One of the places to start is Sunday mornings. Already you're here, you're part of a church body. There are places that you can use your gifts besides church, but within the church is often a great way to start alongside other believers. For the sake of the people around you, I'm going to ask you all to pull out your phones. I know you're thinking, Pastor Amy, why would I pull out my phone at the end of service here? But I want you to pull out your phone, and you are going to scan the QR code behind me. This is our serve QR code. Now, even if you are serving, I encourage you to scan this, because there's other people around you who may not know what it's like to serve. This is the serve form with different ministries, and filling it out is really simple. It asks for your name, your interests, and anything else you want to add. When you fill out this form and you select what you're interested in, your information actually goes to the pastor of that ministry. So for Kids Church, your form is going to go directly to Pastor Heather. When you press that submit button, she will have it in her inbox. For worship, it will go to Pastor Abel immediately, where he could pull out his phone and all of a sudden he has a bunch of notifications. This is an opportunity for you to connect at Journey. And even if you're not sure about it, that's okay. You'll have the link saved on your internet browser for you to revisit when you're ready. But I really want to encourage you, even if you're in one of those hard seasons, when it feels like nothing is going your way, when it feels like you have no control, lean in. Choose to explore new gifts and explore what God is teaching you and how he has equipped you. Because some of those experiences have been most fruitful in my life, transformed how I have used my gifts. So we are going to pray together before we sing and release for today. But I am believing that the Lord is going to give you the courage that you need to take that first step, to get plugged in, to use your gifts within the body, but take it more than just the 1 hour a week and make it into the other many, many hours of the week. So God, I just thank you. I thank you for this body of believers who have beautiful gifts, whose gifts are all different and individualized because of the plans and purposes you have for them. God, I pray that you would give each person courage to walk forward in the calling that you have for them and use their gifts not only at Journey, but in their workplaces, in their families, in their friends, and that we would see that as just such a transformational piece in our communities, that people would experience you by people leaning into their gifts. So we praise you for how you are speaking. We praise you for what you have gifted us. And we are sitting here in excitement for the overflow of everyone using their gifts here in the body. Thank you, God.
Thank you for joining us today on Journey Church Podcast. For more information about our ministry, visit myjourney.church.